nose. So a good Erev Shabbos. This is a Parshas Shalach. As the regime said, it's definitely an eventful Parsha. Unfortunately, a lot of negative events. But let's try to talk about something a little bit more positive. So this evening, I want to begin with making a public confession of sorts. I want to acknowledge something in public, in front of my wife and my mother-in-law, that I've never before done in public. Here it goes. I, Yehuda Leib Myers, am not the world's greatest cook. If it's anything other than noodles or toast, you can more or less count me out from doing a good job. As a matter of fact, the last time I tried making popcorn, I managed to burn half the pot and I almost started a fire. True story. Luckily, I've been very blessed to have an incredible partner at home, who you see right now on the camera, on the screen, and my wife, Martha. She takes care of our children. She's an amazing wife, amazing mother, and she also happens to be a top-notch chef in the kitchen. Those of you who came to Tuesday night's class also got the opportunity to taste some of her baking, her delicious homemade challah. So although I may not be the best at making a roast or a chicken, but I do my best to help out at home in other ways. And one thing that I can do is go shopping. Now, before we say, oh, wow, he's a world-class shopper, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I don't know what to buy at the grocery store. If it was up to me, our menu would always be decided by one simple factor. What foods are on sale that week? Who needs variety or flavor? It's the cost that counts. But honestly, luckily to myself and my wife and my children, my wife takes care of the menu and she takes the time to make me a comprehensive shopping list outlining exactly what to buy and how much to buy at the grocery store. However, the entire key to the shopping trip being a successful endeavor lies in that shopping list. The shopping list must be accurate, precise, and exact. I can still remember that fateful trip on a late Thursday evening to Jewel. My wife was zonked and was heading to bed, and she asked me to run to Jewel to pick up some groceries that she would need in the morning to cook for Shabbos. She quickly scribbled a list, and off I ran to the store. As I began shopping and checking off my list one thing at a time, I got the now infamous red herring. Well, not really red herring, but there in the paper was scribbled just one word. And I stared at it, dumbfounded, completely unsure of what to put into my shopping cart. Because that one word, all it said was three letters. R-E-D. Red. Red what? There was nothing else written. It just said red. Well, did she want red apples? Red pears? Red cabbage? Red cherries? Red tomatoes? Red peppers? Red potatoes? Red Solo cups? I had no clue. And the more I thought about it, the more confused I got. And the more confused I got, the more frustrated I got. I had absolutely no idea what she wanted from the store for Shabbos. My wife was already asleep. I didn't want to call her or wake her up. So there I was, stranded, like a canoe without a paddle, in the middle of the wide ocean of Jewel with never-ending aisles of what seemed to me red foods. As traumatic as that experience was, I realized afterwards that I had to always double-check the list to make sure I knew exactly what the reminders were. Because reminders are only effective if they are clear, concise, and straightforward. If there's any guessing, any ambiguity, then the reminder becomes ineffective, inefficient, and doesn't do the job. In the end of this week's parsha, God gives the Jewish people the commandment of tzitzit, the mitzvah of placing fringes on the corners of one's garment. And the Torah informs us that these tzitzis, the fringes of faith, will serve as a reminder to do the mitzvos, the commandments of the Torah. Ure'isim oso, says the Torah, you shall see them, uzechartem es kol mitzvosai, and you will remember to do the mitzvos. And at first glance, okay, good, we have a reminder. Tzitzis, mitzvos. However, the commentators all wonder, what does seeing tzitzis, what does seeing those white strands have anything to do with mitzvos? Is there anything intrinsic about the tzitzis themselves that connect to mitzvos? I don't know if you ask me, but the first thing I think of when I see tzitzis is it looks like your garment's falling apart, like it's fraying at the edges. So what is the connection between tzitzis and mitzvos? Rashi, the 11th century French commentary, explains as follows. And I'm going to ask you to follow me because it's a little bit complicated. He says you have to do the following math equation. One must first engage in the ancient Judaic practice of gematria, the concept that each Hebrew letter has a numeric value. So if one takes the gematria, the word tzitzit, that is the letters tzadi, yud, tzadi, yud, tuf. Those are the five letters. And each letter has a value. Tzadi is worth 90, yud is worth 10, second tzadi is also worth 90, the second yud is worth 10, and the tuf is worth 400. So 90 plus 10 was 100, plus 90 is 190, plus 10 is 200, plus tuf is 400. That makes 600. Okay? So now, so far, we have 600. So the gematria, the word tzitzit, plus the number of strings of strands on each corner of your tzitzit. That is 8. So 600 plus 8 is 608. And then you take the number of knots on each strand of tzitzit, which is 5. So 608 plus 5 equals 613. So that's what Rashi says. And in that way, when you look at your tzitzit, you think, oh, the gematria of tzitzit is 600 plus 8 is 608 for the strings plus the knots, 613 mitzvos, taryag mitzvos. Oh, I got to do mitzvos. That's how tzitzit remind us to do mitzvos according to Rashi. Now, seems like a real stretch. Understandably so. And that's why many commentaries disagree with Rashi. None more famous than the Ramban, the 13th century Spanish scholar, argues and says, no. No chance. That's not how tzitzis remind us of mitzvos. Rather, it's something entirely else, completely. So what is that? How do tzitzis remind us of mitzvos according to the Ramban? So he says you have to look at the color of the singular blue string, the techeles, on the tzitzit. Because the techeles, the blue string that should be on our tzitzit, some do, some don't wear it nowadays, but it's supposed to be there ideally. And that singular blue string reminds us of the color of the sea. And the sea, the ocean, reminds us of the color of the heavens. And the heavens is the place where God's throne of glory, so to speak, rests. And God reminds us, obviously, of mitzvot, of the commandments. And in that way, when we see that blue string, we think about the ocean and the heavens and God, and we arrive at our reminder to do mitzvot. That's the Ramban's reminder. That's his interpretation of tzitzit serving as a reminder for mitzvot. Let's take a step back. The Torah informed us that tzitzit, you see them, and you remember to do mitzvot. It's a reminder. Reminders that we know, as we noted in the beginning of tonight's drasha, are supposed to be straightforward, clear, obvious. And yet, according to Rashi, the reminder comes about through a five-step math equation. And according to the Ramban, the reminder comes through a three-step, rather vague comparative process. How are these good reminders? We have to think so hard, so bizarrely, just to get there. What does the Torah expect from us? What does God expect from us? In order to answer this question, we have to ask one more question. In the beginning of this week's Torah portion, Moshe tells the Meraglim, the spies that were being sent to scout out to search the land of Israel before they're conquering, he tells them their job is to go to the land of Israel, ureisem es haaretz, to go to be ro'eh, to see the land of Israel. And yet, when the Meraglim actually go, the Torah tells us they weren't ro'eh the land. They didn't see the land. Rather, they went lasur es haaretz. Lasur means to scout out. The question is, what's the significance of the difference between liros and lasur? Why did the Torah switch the verbs? So our sages tell us that in order to understand the true meaning of a word, we have to look at the first time the word appears in the Torah. And the first time the word ro'ah, the shoresh, resh, aleph, pei, appears in Torah is in the first 6 days of creation. The Torah tells us that God created light, and vayar Hashem ki tov, and God saw, ra'ah, God saw that it was good. What does it mean that God saw? Does God have eyes to see? It's funny, my 4-year-old son, Tzvi, 4.5, I know he'd be offended if I said 4, he always asks, he wants to see our daughter Adira's eyes. He likes to see her eyes, but he didn't ask to see her, he asked to see her eyeballs. He said, can I see Adira's eyeballs? I don't know where he got that from, that's how he phrases it. God doesn't have eyeballs. So what does it mean that God saw? So the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, his Guide for the Perplexed, explains that ro'eh doesn't just mean physical sight. It means to perceive and comprehend on a much deeper level. It means to understand the essence of an item with all the layers that exist within it. God understood deeply that the world can't survive if all it has is darkness. The world needs light. Light is good. It's tov. Moshe gave a command to the Meraglim, to the spies, and he told them, I want you to go to the land of Israel, to Eretz Yisrael, and I want you to report back to Bnei Yisrael about the profound, incredible Kedusha that is hidden in the land. But you will have to be ro'eh. You have to see beneath the surface. You have to look deeply to tap into the Kedusha in the land of Israel. It won't be readily visible to your eyes. However, the Meraglim, instead they arrived in Israel and all they saw, they were distracted. Their eyes distracted them. All they saw, all they were able to perceive, was what met the eyes on the surface. The fruit's giant, the people are huge, and they live in fortified cities. We have no chance of conquering this bizarre and strange land. They entirely missed the point of their mission. All they did was scout out, and they failed to see. And we know too well from history, when leaders lack the ability to see, when leaders lack clarity of vision, the consequences are disastrous for the people. And in the aftermath after this terrible sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, comes to the Jewish people and tells them, I have a mitzvah for you. And the mitzvah can only be accomplished. The goal of the mitzvah is for you and requires you to see, to be ro'eh beneath the surface, to see beyond what is right in front of your eyes. God says, I'm giving you the mitzvah of tzitzit, of tzitzis, and they're going to be a reminder for you to keep the mitzvos for commitment, but only if you train yourself to open your eyes, but not just your eyes, to open your mind and your heart, to see and comprehend the layers and nuances that lie beneath the surface. These aren't just strings at the end of your garment. According to Rashi, you must use your intellect to think about the numerical value, the number of strings, the knots. You must think. And according to the Ramban, you must use your heart, your imagination, to think about the colors of the strings, what they remind you of, to be creative. We are told, we are commanded, we are expected to see, to think, and to feel beneath the surface. To use our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to penetrate the depths of the world around us. And this lesson, this is a message that is so true for our lives in our world, in our current reality. We live in a society where people are enraptured and completely engaged and can't get past what they see on the surface. Where we fail to comprehend what is really going on because we are so bombarded by our retinas, by superficial imagery constantly. But Judaism calls for a higher standard in all areas of our lives, to see beyond, to not get distracted by the superficial imagery that we see, to continuously seek out truth, beauty, and meaning, even if that means digging down deep beneath the surface, deep into ourselves. I want to close with a blessing, that we should all use the lesson of the tzitzit to have the strength and the courage to continue our journeys to uncover the beauty, truth, and meaning of the world around us. Wishing everyone a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, Rabbi. Thank you.
Good Shabbos.
So what was the red?